Good evening. It's 5:30, so I'd like to call this April 1st meeting to order. Can we have a roll call, please?
Biggie.
Here.
Towser. Gast.
Here.
Weigel.
Here.
Miller.
Okay, thank you. You have in front of you an agenda. Any additions or subtractions, modifications to the agenda? Okay, it's been moved. By Gast, second by Towser. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we'll stick with this agenda then. Minutes. I was not here last month, so do you have a chance to read the minutes and any changes or approvals? Moved by Gast, second by Miller to approve the minutes from last month. All those in favor say aye. Okay. Those opposed? Minutes are approved. At this point, it's time for public comments, and that would be for anything pertaining to the planning and zoning, but not on tonight's agenda. So if there's anything that fits into that category, now is the time to do that. Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. Public comment is closed. Old business, I think everything's been taken care of, so we have no old business. So we'll move right into new business, which brings us right to SUB03-13, the Bellawood subdivision. And with that, I'd like to ask Mr. Dissel to give us a briefing on that project.
Alrighty.
Before you start, Charlie, just for those of you that are here, we'll ask Charlie to give a presentation on that, and then the commission here will ask questions of them, and then we'll have a chance for public comment. So any questions or comments you'd like to make, we'll ask you to come up to the podium, give your name and address, and we'll listen to what you have to say. Charlie?
As you mentioned, this is the Bellawood subdivision, preliminary plat of the Bellawood subdivision. Current property owner of the land is listed as James and Karen Clark. General location of the land is at 3491 Cameron School Road. That's approximately 19 acres in size. Current zoning is R1 residential. Going back to some history on that, it was changed from the A1 agricultural district by the Board of Supervisors on May 20th of 1976. The property is currently classified as in a residential use, as it does contain one single-family dwelling. The Amesburg Fringe Plan, which is a component of the Story County Development Plan, designates this property as rural transitional residential, which is a subcategory of the rural urban transition areas. And there are two cities within 2 miles of this, both Ames and the city of Gilbert. However, since Ames is the closer of the two, it does have the review jurisdiction over the subdivision plat. The application is to consider a major subdivision plat of one current lot into 15 development lots, two outlots, and two street lots. The subdivision is being reviewed as a preliminary subdivision plat. The Planning and Zoning Commission does provide a recommendation only on the preliminary plat to the Board of Supervisors. And the final plat, one that does get submitted, is only reviewed by the Board of Supervisors. And as we did mention, the City of Ames also has review jurisdiction over the subdivision plat. And that was reviewed and approved by the City of Ames City Council on March 26, 2013. Map up here shows current zoning in place within the area. You'll see the property that's being reviewed here kind of outlined in the blue. You've got generally the Squaw Valley subdivision, all zoned R1 residential, mainly to the west. You have some agricultural residential zoning down here to the southwest, a little bit more R1, and a strip of R2 residential zoning along the Ames Golf and Country Club. These are some old aerial photos that we have up here, but the Ames E3 Church news site does sit right about this area right there. Just a few site shots that we have taken. This looking north on Cameron School, or excuse me, looking east on Cameron School Road. This is the driveway entrance of the property, about the same location that the new proposed road would come out onto Cameron School Road. This looking up into the driveway on the property, again, generally going to be about the same location of where the new road will sit. On this particular one right here, there is mention of the two ponds on the property. There is a pond back down in this area and a pond back up in this area, and the current driveway pretty much splits the two of those. Just looking up more towards where the single-family dwelling is sitting back down in the driveway, looking towards the south. And this looks at the current single-family dwelling on the property. This one here, looking more north, you can kind of see the heavily wooded area there, pretty much the large backyard behind the house. This one right here looks down on the pond that is in the southeast corner. If you look there, you can kind of see the frozen area of the pond down there. This one here looks at the pond that is in the southwest corner of the property. You can see the outtake right there from that pond, the overflow. This one here, there is mention in the staff report of the street preservation easement. This photo right here is actually taken from Matthews Road, the cul-de-sac that is on that current street there, to the west. And this looks east onto the property where the tree line is, would be the west property line of the subdivision. And this one here kind of looks from the north down onto the property. So you're looking over about 40-acre tract right there down onto the property. And this last one here, a little bit harder to see that one, but this is taken from the parking lot of the AMZ Free Church, again, looking west onto the property. Just some notes that we made throughout the staff report. There is an existing single-family dwelling located on the current lot. That dwelling is proposed to be placed on lot 15 of the subdivision. The preliminary plat did show conformance with all setback requirements. We did note that the final plat will need to show the building footprint and setback figures from all of the lot lines. Bellawood subdivision does include the dedication of two street lots to be used for public roads. The primary street is a north-south road named Bellawood Drive, which will provide access to the site from Cameron School Road. Cameron School Road is an existing paved Story County Road. According to 2011 Iowa DOT annual average daily traffic counts, the current vehicles per day on that is a little over 3,000, and we did note that typically with a single-family dwelling, you'll generate an additional 10 vehicle trips per day, so with 14 new development lots, you can add about 140 to that, and that'll probably be what the new traffic count would be with this subdivision if approved. Bellawood Drive will provide frontage up to 11 lots. Bellawood Drive will extend to the north boundary line, where it will be stubbed in for a connection to the parcel to the north for any future development. That stubbed in portion of Bellawood Drive will essentially be a dead end road until the future connection is made for approximately 280 feet. That dead ended portion will have frontage for up to 3 lots. Bellawood Drive does provide a 66 foot right of way with a 26 foot roadway and a 6 inch curb. The roadway will have a ditch on both sides that will be approximately 30 feet wide, 20 of which will be located within the right-of-way, and 3 feet deep. The second street is proposed to be a 250-foot cul-de-sac named Bella Circle that will provide frontage for up to 6 lots. The roadway portion of Bella Circle will have the same specifications as Bella Woods Drive. However, the circular portion will have a 60-foot radius right-of-way and a 50-foot radius paved portion. In all, the street lots, which will be the total right-of-way, will consume about 13% of this total site. The third edition of the South Squaw subdivision was approved back in 1990 and did include a street reservation easement that was intended to be an easement used for future street extension of Matthews Road to the east. The easement was depicted on the plat of that third edition, and there was mention of the easement made in the recorded restrictive covenants, which stated in part that the owners of the street reservation easement shall convey or dedicate those portions of the easement in the event Matthews Road is extended in an easterly direction sometime in the future. Those covenants were recorded on October 24th of 1990 and expired 21 years after recordation. So with that, obviously those covenants did expire on October 24th of 2011, which was approximately a year and a half ago, and no evidence that they were continued after those 21 years. Staff could not find any evidence that they were continued after that. So because of that, there are concerns about the county's ability to force conveyance of that easement with the expiration of the covenants. However, the Ames City Council did approve the preliminary plat for Bellawood Subdivision. Again, we mentioned that was on March 26th, last Tuesday. There was a condition placed on that approval that the development include a 60-foot outlot that will stretch west of Bellawood Circle to the west property line of the subject property. That outlot will serve the purpose of providing a future connection for Bella Circle to the 60-foot street reservation easement that stretches east of Matthews Road. Reason the city is requiring that, they may have the ability upon annexation to require the street reservation easement be conveyed for right-of-way for Matthews Road and that connection to be made. So it is, again, not a cul-de-sac that would be on there. It would be a straight through the street upon annexation. However, county staff did note that it's probably safe to assume that Bella Circle will remain a cul-de-sac with no connection to Matthews Road while the proposed development is located in the unincorporated area of Story County. If an annexation does occur in the future, the city may attempt to connect Bella Circle with Matthews Road. However, at that point, it would be outside the county's jurisdiction, and the issues of road names, any changes of addresses, any infrastructure improvements that would need to take place would fall under the jurisdiction of the City of Ames. And this is a picture up here just of the subdivision plat, the proposed subdivision plat. You can see Matthews Road right here. Right here is that street reservation easement that we mentioned, that 60-foot wide street reservation easement. The city is requiring that an outlot kind of be carved out, a 60-foot wide outlot. That would stretch from that street reservation easement to that outlot B. So if you can just kind of imagine an extra outlot being carved in there, and again, that's what the city is requiring on that. So probably will be a change that's made to the preliminary plat, but those changes weren't made on the ones that you're looking at right now. So again, if you can just imagine that that would be there, that's pretty much essentially what you're reviewing tonight. Looking at the common open space requirements that Story County requires, we did note that common open space with the subdivision does include the 2.47-acre outlot X, which is generally that pond on the southeast corner of the property. And we would add that about quarter-acre outlot required by the City of Ames. That would total 2.72 acres of common open space, are approximately 14.3% of the subdivision. As you will note, looking through the regulations, Story County does require 15% be dedicated for common open space. We did note that 15% of the proposed subdivision will be about 2.86 acres. And again, this proposed subdivision does fall about 0.14 acres short of that number. We did want to remind the commission that alternative compliance is an option with the proposed subdivision, and staff is confident that the subdivision would meet various alternative compliance measures. And I believe the developer is here tonight, too, and will speak on that and does have some of the areas of the alternative compliance that he'll be recommending. Staff did also note that there are large numbers of trees on the site, which will undoubtedly have to be moved or removed from the site when the road is placed and the homes are built. The applicant has stated that the disturbance of grade and trees will be limited to the street corridor, and homes will be custom, and each homeowner will determine how his home will fit among the trees on his lot. Looking at the definition of significant tree in the land development regulations, we do define it as a deciduous tree with a caliper of greater than 4 inches, measured 4 feet off the ground, or conifers trees taller than 15 feet. Where it is not feasible to protect and retain the significant trees or transplant them to another on-site location, replacement trees shall be planted on the site or in the closest available planting site within 1,320 feet. The developer did provide these pictures for us here, and I'm going to show you them on the screen here above. Again, this is the site back in 1994. You can see where the house and the pond is located there. Pretty much zero trees on the site back in 1994. This picture taken, aerial taken from 2003, starts to show where a lot of those trees were planted. And then looking last year, 2012, you can see how those trees have matured on the property within those last 9 years there. dealing with stormwater management. The development shall incorporate stormwater control strategies that better replicate natural watershed hydrology and water quality, controlling runoff discharge volume, frequency, and quality. There are ditches along the road that will be used as a primary route for stormwater runoff from this site, and will essentially be used as biofilters and planted in a vegetative matter. The ditches will flow into the two existing pond areas on the site, and the southwest pond will serve as this site's stormwater detention pond. The stormwater management plan does state that stormwater will be routed through roadway ditches and culverts and will be designed for driveway crossings. Currently, a majority of the site does drain into the pond located in the southeast corner and then route stormwater into the pond in the southwest corner via a 12-inch outlet. Looking at the east side of Bella Woods Drive, the water will be discharged via overland flow and driveway culverts into the existing pond in the southeast corner. Again, overflow for that pond is handled through an emergency spillway that flows into the Cameron School roadway ditch. The development is proposing to place a new manhole to be installed on the existing 12-inch outlet, and a second 15-inch pipe will be installed to an intake located at the bottom of the pond spillway to handle any additional overflow. The stormwater management plan does mention that during a 100-year storm, the 12-inch outlet will not be sufficient and the pond will overflow to the previously discussed intake. From the manhole, there will be an 18-inch concrete pipe that will be installed to convey water to the pond in the southwest corner. And then water from the west side of Bella Woods Drive will discharge into that southwest corner detention pond. The ultimate discharge point for this site is through the existing 24-inch culvert that empties into the Cameron School Road ditch and then flows about 3/10 of a mile into Squaw Creek to the west. Furthermore, the stormwater management plan does note that the proposed development asphalt roadway adds approximately 1.13 acres of impervious area compared to the existing condition today, and it has been determined that a 15-inch culvert will not overtop any future driveway during a 100-year storm event, and that is what will be required for all driveway culverts in this subdivision. Map up here above kind of shows some of the contours on the site. The red area here being the highest point on the site, and you can kind of see again how that drains down. Here's the pond that is located in the southeast corner and the smaller one in the southwest corner. And again, if you kind of follow those contours on the site, you can get a good idea how they drain into those two areas. This one here kind of zooms out a little bit further and shows some of those contours. Again, you can see the high point, seeing the two red points here and that. And again, everything generally kind of flowing into this area and then down into Squaw Creek here to the west. Going over a few other things that we noted in the staff report. First, the letter of the acknowledgement from the Gilbert Fire Chief does state that the Fire Chief would need to look around to identify any concerns, but he has acknowledged that the development is taking place. Because of that, staff would request a final follow-up letter from the Gilbert Fire Chief with the submittal of the final plat to verify there are not any issues with the emergency response to this subdivision. The zoning note on the plat does state that the side setback for the R1 residential zoning district is 25 feet. We did note that 25 feet is actually the side corner setback, and 10 feet is the regular side setback, and we would request that that correction be made on the final plat. There were no covenants submitted with the preliminary plat submittal. Staff did note that there are various aspects of this plat that will require a homeowners association commitment to maintenance and upkeep of things like roads and stormwater management features, and staff would need to see the proposed covenants of the proposed subdivision with the final plat submittal to make sure that all those things are in line. And lastly, the Story County Land Development Regulations do require that the developer enter into a development agreement providing for the installation of all improvements in the subdivision. Along top of that, though, again, those are the improvements for the roads and stuff like that and any bonding that would need to take place for that. With that development agreement, we did note that that agreement shall outline erosion control measures for the development of the site. The agreement shall also outline the removal of any significant trees and the mitigation of the removal of those significant trees. And lastly, the agreement shall outline a soil analysis for the septic system that will be placed on each lot. That last one there is based off the interagency comments that were received from Story County Environmental Health. With that, I just want to kind of summary the issues that we discussed there just in that brief 20-minute presentation that I gave. Again, the new outlot on the updated plat, the outlot that the City of Ames is requiring. The common open space requirement, again, Story County does require 15%. This subdivision is dedicating 14.3%, is alternative compliance an option with that. The removal of significant trees, can that be covered in the development agreement, and can that be a condition of approval? The acknowledgement from the Gilbert Fire Chief, again, just acknowledging that there are no final concerns from the Gilbert Fire Department with this proposal. The listed setbacks, getting that side setback corrected on the final plat. Staff review of the proposed covenants, just asking that be a condition of approval with the preliminary plat. Erosion control measures, again, staff's hoping that can be covered in the developer's agreement. And lastly, the soil analysis for septic systems, and again, hoping that can be covered in the developer's agreement. With that, the four conditions that were listed in your staff report are on the screen here above, and assuming there will be questions from you, so I will be happy to answer those at this time.
What questions do we have with Charlie at this time?
Charlie, what is the proposed water source? Is it going to be a rural water system?
Xenia does have, I believe, a water line on the, I want to say it's the south side of Cameron School Road. It's either on the north or south side, but I do believe it's the south side. They will make a connection with that and then run a line into the subdivision. And Xenia Rural Water did provide a letter with the subdivision plat submittal stating that they are they do have the capability of providing water to the site. It's not part of Ames, no.
Yeah.
Not inside the City of Ames, but state code does give review jurisdiction to cities within 2 miles if they so choose. With the City of Ames, we do have a 2080 agreement with the Ames Urban Fringe Plan that gives them review jurisdiction over this.
But that's right, too.
No, the City of Ames is reviewing an annexation right now of that ASIM property, if you'll recall, where that possible senior citizen place will go. If that is ultimately annexed, this site will be about a quarter mile away from the boundary of the City of Ames, from that site. So right now it's probably a little bit, about a half a mile, I would say, as the crow flies.
Charlie, would you like to address the alternative compliance, or do we want to wait until the developer's up?
Yeah, and the only thing I'll mention, and I know we included that in the staff report, there are, I think, 14 different measures that the developer can do, and more or less what that sets it up is if you're not able to necessarily meet one of the requirements of the subdivision regulations, if you're able to do more in other areas, just kind of lessening some of the restrictions that Story County would put on the subdivision. So I believe, like I said, I think the applicant's ready to speak on some of those and some of the ideas that he has on that, so I'll defer to him on that. But, again, we did include that section in the staff report, so hope for everybody to have a chance to review it prior to him talking.
The roadway considered part of that 15%.
The open space requirement? No, the actual roadway itself isn't, and our regulations don't allow for that to be considered. But, you know, we kind of did fumble around with the that outlot that the City of Ames is requiring for a future street extension. The reason I think we were okay moving forward with that is, again, we're under the assumption that that is going to be open space while it's in the county. So, yeah, yep.
Okay, any further questions? Okay, thank you. Do we have a representative of the developer here? Would you come forward, give your name and address in the microphone? And
good evening. My name is Bob Gibson with Civil Design Advantage, 3805 Southeast Crossroads Drive in Grimes. I think I'll start out just with a question about the water. Charlie was right that Xenia has a water line. It is on the south side, is it on? There's an 8-inch water main on the south side of Cameron School Road, and we will be connecting that and bringing the water on up. I wanted to point out maybe to you folks that the street and the water line will be built to City of Ames standards, so it's going to be an 8-inch water line. So if annexation does ever occur, it'll be right up to their standards in every way, as far as the water, as far as the street as well. The width of the street and the construction of the street will be up to City of Ames standards. And an additional item is we are providing an easement on either side of the street, so if and when, again, Ames annexes in, that there's a place to put a sanitary sewer, which I guess doesn't really interest you guys all that much because that's an Ames issue. But what I really want to address tonight is those alternative compliance issues, starting with the open space. We're like 0.1 something acres short in that calculation. And if you read my little analysis that was in the staff report, and how if you compare a 10,000 square foot lot subdivision, which is allowable in this zone, and then you provide 15% open space for those lots, how much common open space each one of those lots gets. In this case, these are much larger lots and much more private open space. And so if you kind of compare apples to apples, I won't go through my whole write-up there. For each lot, there's close to a half an acre per lot of combined open space, or private open space and public open space. So in that sense, I think we're meeting the spirit of the alternative compliance, and that there's plenty of open space in this subdivision. So before I move on to the trees, any comments on that or questions? I know as I read over my write-up there, I could see how it'd be a little bit confusing.
The City of Ames is requiring 60-foot wide by 100-foot long piece of ground,
mm-hmm.
which is 0.2 some acres, which more than exceeds the deficit. If you were to provide that as open space, this would not be an issue. And so what I'm hearing you say is that I don't think that is a reasonable solution.
I believe that with this outlot, we are still short.
I included in that calculation that approximately quarter acre outlot in there, so.
So you've included that in there, and
yeah. Without that, they're at about 2.5 acres, which would be about 0.36 acres short instead of the 0.14 acres.
Okay, thank you.
Question. It kind of looks like lot 13, 14, 15 actually extend into the pond.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Yes.
If you just took them out of the line of the pond, wouldn't you gain your
We could probably.
Why do you want the pond in their lot? And if you took it out, there'd be your common space.
We could probably reduce that somewhat. I'm not sure we would gain the whole tenth. Well, the reason for going into the pond with those lots is that we wanted to give some private pond shoreline to those three lots. So, but we could possibly pull that back and get really close to the shoreline and still provide that. Okay. The other issue of the alternative compliance is that requirement to replace trees that are removed. And this is something that, Charlie, that I just became aware of last week. And so our response to that, Charlie and I were just talking about it Friday and today. And our approach to that is, as Charlie has shown you, is that originally there were very few trees on this lot, and even what you, the tiny ones you see there that are just to the west of the house, I believe Jim Clark bought this lot in 1990. This is 94. He planted those trees. Everything since then, that densely wooded site, he put there. And our concern about requiring that he replace, or the owner replace, any trees that are removed in the development of this is almost, in a sense, punishing him for planting the trees in the first place. Because had he not planted them, that would not be an issue. But what you have now is a lot of forest, and there will still be a lot of forest that will be there that was not originally there 20 years ago. So we would ask that we'd be granted alternative compliance in that sense as well for the trees. And I will point out that as much as physically possible, we will be moving trees that are of a movable size and relocating them wherever we can, stockpiling them in some areas where there's some grading. We may stockpile some there or just repopulate those graded areas with trees on site where we take them off. The owner was planning on, he's got a tree stage, so he was planning on taking some of the trees and putting them in another piece of property that he owns. So it's not like we're just going to entirely wipe out a bunch of trees. We want to, I mean, it's Bella Woods. The name just conveys the whole nature of that site, and it's all the woods, and we want to preserve as much as possible. That's why we're not grading out home building pads, because each of these homes is going to be a custom home. So we want the homeowner to be able to get in there and squeeze and custom design his home around the existing trees there. So, and as far as the outlot required by the city, Charlie, is there anything we need to address with that? I have this.
If you want to get that, if there's if you've got that outlot in there, I'd.
Yeah.
Like I said, the only thing we mentioned on there was just kind of imagine it being there.
Yeah. It was decided on Tuesday, too, so we didn't have a chance to get on here to know. So this is what it would look like.
Thank you.
We choose to configure the lot in a rectangular lot like that rather than a pie shape that would have turned it. So that's what we're doing. So just want to start.
Any further questions?
Thank you, Mr. Gibson. Do we have other questions of him before he sits down? I do have one. Just certainly the trees are not an issue for me because I'm in full agreement with you. I think they were planted there. They're not natural trees. So if some of them have to go for a roadway, that's fine. And I do believe you'll take care of those. If the open space gets to be an issue, for me, a tenth of an acre, 1,500ths of an acre is not a big issue, but is there some place we could grab 1,400ths of an acre to help with the open space, or no?
Well, as was mentioned earlier, we probably could capture some of that in the pond itself. So,
and move the property line around
closer to the shore.
15 feet closer to the shore, which would still
grant. Yeah, it would still grant those lots ownership of that shoreline, but it would technically make their lot a little bit smaller. And obviously, the other lot a little bit bigger, so.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, this is the time for comments from the public, and if anybody would like to comment on this project, step on up, give your name and address, and your comments.
I'm Kathy Stallman. I live at 3309 Cameron School, which is the property directly adjoining this proposed subdivision. And my main problem with this is that I raise sheep, and that's right next to my fence line. So all that proposed common area along the pond, that's going to be right next to my fence line. So essentially, actually I can...
Okay. Let's pass those around.
And looking through the development regulations, number 7 minimizes the visual and aesthetic impact on the surrounding neighborhood. You can tell by those pictures that it certainly doesn't from my point of view. And also doesn't enhance local food system networks. I've been selling eggs and lamb and for the last 10 years, and this would having 14 new neighbors would really impact my farming. Not only the privacy, as you can see by the pictures there, but you know, city people are going to be like calling ASPCA every time they see the sheep out in a snowstorm. And it essentially makes my farm an attractive hazard, because some little kid comes up to my fence line, you know, decides, oh, look at the nice sheep, let me climb over the fence. It only takes one hit from a ram to kill a kid or, you know, injure it for life. So this is, I noticed that in the, on the last page of this packet that I have, it says on the west side, okay, to the east is church-owned property, which is north of me, and a non-farmed residential acreage, which is incorrect. It says also Principle 2, projects that effectively minimize development impacts on adjacent agriculture and natural landscapes, and seamless transitions from non-agricultural uses to agricultural uses. As property currently stands, I have a nice 19-acre buffer between myself and Squaw Valley, which makes, you know, no problems with neighbors. I think if someone, you know, buys a lot to build a $500,000 house on, they're not going to want to smell sheep, they're going to want to hear sheep and chickens, and it's, you know, I can't imagine, it seems to me if you wouldn't cite a hog confinement next to a residential subdivision, that you shouldn't do the opposite. So I would recommend that you either refuse to let the subdivision go in, or that you send it back to the developer with some kind of plan for a buffer so that I don't lose my property value, I don't lose my ability to farm and use my land. Have any questions for me?
How many sheep and chickens do you have?
Right now I have 20 chickens and another 20 on order. I have 21 ewes and 35 lambs, 2 rams, 2 goats, and a kid.
Any other questions from Ms. Stolman?
Did you offer about this already?
I brought my concerns up at the Ames meeting.
Conversation directly with the developers in that regard, that they had any suggestions to alleviate the problem?
Not so far, no. See, when the land use policy plan passed that said, you know, Ames is going to develop to the south, to the, you know, west, I spent a lot of time and money improving my farm. And I thought that that was supposed to, you know, give us some confidence that, yes, we'll be able to still have agricultural activities north of Ames. And, you know, if we're not, then I think there needs to be some way to you know, pay the church, who's on one side of me, or the development on the other side of me, to relocate my farm, because I can't farm with a subdivision right on top of me.
Yeah. Better you get a signed waiver from each one of these people that buys these lots that they will not complain about odor or noise.
Well, they legally they can't complain about it because of the right to farm laws, but that they can make my life absolutely miserable. So they can't sue me, but they can really make life difficult. Anything else?
Thank you, Ms. Dolman. Is there anybody else that'd like to come forward and speak? Make any comments? The microphone and name and address.
Chris Gardner, 204 Ridgewood in Huxley. I am the owner of Bella Homes and a partner with Bella Woods here. I appreciate Ms. Dolman's comments and really do understand her situation. I did talk to her on the phone about her situation, and what I talked to her about on the phone is just point out that the way her lot is situated. It's just a small percentage of one of lot. Is it lot 12 or 13? And so I just wanted to point out that it's the same net effect. There's still one neighbor, just like she's always had. And our common space is a great buffer. Our common space will be maintained by HOA, and actually the pond will be improved and taken very good care of by the homeowner association. And so, and my humble opinion, that her new neighbors and her new land will actually be greatly improved in aesthetically and maintained professionally by a landscape company, not just the homeowner, but professionally manicured. So.
Who would maintain the fence between this subdivision property and her property? Because a fence that will keep sheep in will not necessarily keep children out. And I think she has some valid concerns with children getting in there or anyone getting in there, because I grew up with livestock and I raise livestock, and they can be unpredictable. And her liability, if someone even they were to trespass, lawyers have ways of getting around some of these rules and possibly causing her financial hardship if someone were to get hurt, even though they did not come invited to her property. And so I would be concerned about a possibly chain link fence, some type of fence that is not easily scaled.
I understand what you're saying and appreciate that. We can look at that. And I guess my only thoughts or points back would be I can't keep someone from walking in from any side. It could be someone from the church. It could be anybody. Any public person can walk into her property illegally, and I guess I can't prevent that, no matter what.
Oh, I'm not saying you could prevent it, but there are ways to make it more difficult.
It's the same kind of thing. You've got locks on your doors at home, right, to keep the honest people honest.
Yes.
Well, it's the same thing with that type of offense. You know, it deters. It's a great deterrent. You know, the big deal is little kids. You know, I mean, adults. What? But it's the little kids that wander around and they're fascinated by animals.
Mm-hmm.
And so the type of fence that is being suggested would certainly be a big deterrent.
On the property line.
Well, about 120 feet of common property line between lot 13 and Ms. Dolman's.
Well, even the common area. I mean, any bordering property that borders Ms. Spellman to the west.
Okay.
West,
so
to the west
all the way
Spellman
down
property.
To include the common area, even though nobody lives there.
Correct, because the common area is there basically for people to take a walk and enjoy, and if it's easier to enter Ms. Spellman's property from that common area than it is that lot, someone may try that.
Well, there would the property, the 1 acre piece, should he put a fence up to, or like this guy here? I understand what you're saying, but they have to walk through the pond or over proper, they'd have to trespass over our lot owner's land, and I guess it's just, my humble opinion would be very unlikely that someone, they'd have to trespass, get through there, and have to cross the pond or go.
There's one area there, the rest of the pond, it appears to me, unless that's
East of the pond. It's part of the outlot. I mean, yeah, and anybody could.
Your question is, should this fence extend clear up to, all the way up here past the church?
No, I'm saying to the south. Like, there's a piece of property immediately west of Gaffney.
Yeah, where Mr. Bano's property is what you're talking about.
Okay.
Not chain link currently now in this area I'm talking about, though. Probably.
We could take a look at that. I'm not saying it's a deal breaker. I'm just saying we could take a look at it.
What would be considered a fence that would do the trick? And just to give us some direction as to the type of fence we would be talking about. How high? You mentioned chain link.
Well, no, chain link, small children's feet can fit into it, but if you have one that's probably 6 feet tall, it would be a little more than they would want to scale. We don't want to make it look like a prison fence. I don't think we need to go to that extreme. But, I just want to help Ms. Spellman with her potential that's out there. Now, I'm not saying that something still couldn't happen, but... And granted, she was there first and established first, and she has certain legal rights because of that. But if there is currently chain link fence between Bourbonos and her, I think at least an equivalent type fence would, in my mind, be sufficient.
How tall is the current fence between you and Bourbon?
One thing I would like to point out that understanding the concerns with the fence, but as to what was first, it's my understanding that this property has been zoned for this type of development since 1976, which predates the farm. So it's the right for it to develop this way has been in place for quite a long time. But understanding the concern about the animals and the kids and
well, it may predate Ms. Spellman being there farming, but this was all farmland prior to the gentleman, Mr. Clark, I believe, planting the trees even. So.
In terms of the law, there's the law, and then there's being a good neighbor. Now, I don't know which weighs more. Maybe the good neighbor.
Yeah, you bet. I'm not saying I won't do it. I'm just saying more like what you're saying with the front door. I mean, people can get in no matter what. It's hard to people can come off. Yeah, I mean, but it does deter people. I would agree with you.
Kids and whoever from crawling over and. They have the potential of getting hurt badly.
Okay. Any other comments? Any other questions of Mr. Gibson or Mr. Gardner? Okay. Thank you both very much. I appreciate it. Anybody else like to come forward? Yes. Oh. Go ahead. We'll get both of you.
Good evening. My name is Bill Dankbar. I live at 8136 West 110th Street Circle in Bloomington, Minnesota. And I'm one of the property owners of the property just to the south of Carver Road, directly across the street. Currently farmland. We owned it since 1962. So as a good neighbor, I thought I would call every step up to tell you that It is our intention as a family to develop that property sometime over the course of the next 5 years. And since the city has approved the acquisition of the retirement home property, our property will border on the city limits at that point in time and have access to both city water and sewer. Okay?
Just point that out on the map, sorry.
Sure will.
Starts right here. This section is all the way down to the top here. 88.
Played on the land, farmed the land, done everything with it since 1962. So, father currently was the initial owner of the property. Currently he's 92 and hospitalized. So, I'm here only to learn all about the process. So whatever you apply to Bella Woods, keep in mind, will apply to the rest of it. I know the city of Ames has projected that a lot of this property won't become part of the city for at least 10 years. I would imagine it would be less than that, because we will voluntarily allow ourselves to be annexed into the city. Okay?
Any questions, Mr. Dankmar? How do I pronounce your last name again, please?
Dankmar. D-A-N-K-B-A-R.
Dankmar. Okay. Sorry.
And my first cousin is your good county sheriff, Paul Fitzgerald. So if you ever want to find me, you can find Paul. So thank you.
The property that you own,
yes,
is that border used also?
Directly across the street. The entrance to the farm.
Her parking here. The entrance to the farm is here. The drive goes all the way down the fence line, all the way down to the trees. It comes up, and then there's a drive that goes down into the bottom land. Of course, there's two homes that are built here that we watched go up. And I was a youngster. This is Harley's old place, Harley Anderson's old place. And
passed away some time ago. So. Any other questions?
Appreciate the information. Thank you.
I'm Susan Harris, 5206 Valley Road. Our property is right here. Our concern was to make sure that there was not more runoff than we have currently. In 2010, we have no creek in our backyard, but we did at that point. And we had some flooding issues. We have a pond, and the pond was full, and it does run out into the county ditch also. But we get a lot of runoff, and if there's much more change in the way that there is runoff, we will have water in our back, and we have a walkout. So we want to make sure that we don't have any more problems with water than we need to. So I thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. I think it's part of the requirements, I believe.
There was a stormwater management plan that was submitted that, and maybe Bob, you want to speak on it a little bit more, but my understanding with the projections that were in that plan was it wouldn't be increasing any stormwater runoff from any spot over what it currently is right now. And again, if you look on, if you can go back here, give me a second. I'll use this one. Again, you can kind of see where this being the Amesie Free Church land right here, majority of that goes into that pond right there in the southwest. That pond then empties into this small detention basin right there, which flows into the creek. Majority of that site right now, again, either goes into this one right here or this one right there. So it's my understanding from reading that stormwater management plan that they don't foresee any increased runoff from either one of those, and that those two ponds right now can carry the capacity of the stormwater that will possibly increase it on that now again. And we did mention that in the staff report as far as the piping from that larger pond and the other one. I think there needs to be some upgrades with that, and the developer has full intentions of doing that. So.
I do have one more question. Since the Ames City Council changed and put the road through, there was supposed to be some sort of a drainage along the property line. Has that been addressed?
Yeah, and I'll get Bob to address that. And I'm not sure there's going to be any changes, or I don't know if you can either, Chris. I don't believe there's going to be any changes at this time right now with that outlot that's going to be placed on there. I think the grading that they will be doing is still going to be grading for a cul-de-sac, and then at the time that outlot is ever annexed and that road is ever extended at that point, there'd have to be something that'd be done with it.
Thank you, Ms. Harris. Mr. Gibson?
Oh, I was talking to the other Charlie. Charlie DeSell was correct in that in the stormwater management plan, it is all addressed in there that pretty much the majority, a lot of the water flows into the large pond, then goes into the small pond, and then is discharged into the ditch through that 24-inch pipe. So that's going to be the same point of discharge that we have afterwards, and it's going to be held to the same volume. But I will add to that, there's a fair amount of sheet flow that flows southwest across the site. With the addition of the street in here, that's going to intercept that, and it's going to capture that water into the ditches alongside the street and bring it directly in the pond, which will still be controlled to release it at a rate no greater than what's coming out of the pond now. So in effect, we're actually cutting off some of the flow that flows onto the Harris property by putting in the street.
Okay. Thank you.
The tile drain that goes through my property and into that pond. The pond was built incorrectly, I guess. The tile is 4 feet below the water level of the pond, so that it's blocking the head is blocking drainage there, and it backs up onto my property. And I did speak with the developer about that, and he said that they would add on to that tile that's existing and go across to the outflow and lower the outflow that exists. Can that be written into the agreement so that makes sure to get done?
Yeah, I think that's definitely something we could probably include in that developer's agreement, some mention on that. So.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Be a good neighbor. I'd share a little wet back garden.
Okay, I'm going to ask if you're going to talk, hit the microphone.
Apologize. I just was just, be a good neighbor. I voluntarily agreed over the phone and gave my word I would reroute that tile line, and I'm happy that's fine to put in there because I'm committed to doing that, and to be a good neighbor.
Thank you, Mr. Gardner. We have somebody chomping at the bit back here to get up here, so.
I'm Charlie Kuster, Planning Department with the City of Ames, and I just need a little bit of background here about the cul-de-sac idea. When it was submitted to us, it was shown as a cul-de-sac, but then we knew that the connection over to Matthews Road was anticipated 20 years ago when that was developed. So we asked the developer to show a drawing making that connection not as a cul-de-sac but as a road connected all the way to the west property line. And both of those options were presented to our Planning and Zoning Commission. And the commission chose the alternative that took that road all the way to the west property line. Understanding the issues that they had with the drainage and collecting the stormwater from that, if that road just dead-ended at the property line, there'd be a lot of issues collecting the stormwater. So we kind of looked and created a third option, which was to have the cul-de-sac but make that outlot there located so that the street could be extended at some future point. Those three options were presented to the City Council, and City Council chose that third option, which is allow the street to end in the cul-de-sac, but with the outlot, so at some future point that extension could be made to Matthews Road as was originally envisioned 20 years ago. So, what we have in front of you, or what we've seen, is not a complete preliminary plat. He's kind of sketched something out here. The city council allowed him to move forward with this third alternative with the recommendation that final set of drawings be prepared before final approval by the county board of supervisors.
So. Okay. Will the city of Ames then own the outlots?
We anticipate it would be owned by the homeowners association, but there would be language in there that after annexation and if that street were to be connected through, that it would be provided to the city at $1 plus other valuable consideration. The decision as to whether that street would go through, I'm just going to say it's been pushed off to some other future city council. It would only occur if this were annexed and if the city decided that we were going to allow this development to have the same interconnected feel as our neighborhoods inside the city of Ames.
The Hendersons and the Howells are well aware of that road going to possibly go through.
They are aware that there is an easement there, and within that easement, outside of that easement, there was also a 30-foot setback required from that easement line. We're trying to mimic that on this property by having a 30-foot setback outside of that outlot line so that if that street does go through, those homes would be oriented in such a way and set back a distance that would be their front yard through there. The homeowners association or the covenants that Charlie referred to indicated that the owners of those two lots would give that easement land as right-of-way at no cost. That easement or that covenant language, as Charlie correctly pointed out, expired, I believe, last year. If we were to ask that road to be put through, we'd have to come up with some alternative to acquiring that land.
Thank you, Mr. Cuser. Any final opportunity here for any public comments? Cool. Hearing none, come back to the commission here. Any further questions of the developer or, the applicant or the staff?
Gentlemen, one question. Let's jump ahead 10 years.
Okay.
Can I have sheep and chickens and...
Yes, you can. Keeping of livestock is not prohibited by the city ordinance. You are subject to any nuisance or noise ordinances that we do have, but there are people in the city that have chickens and horses. I'm not sure of cows or sheep, but they're not prohibited by city ordinance.
Commissioners, any further questions? Okay, hearing none, time for discussion or a motion.
Well, I was confused based on the discussion as to which alternative we're going to choose. I mean, you know, there are a lot of things that have come up since we...
Let me start taking a crack at it.
Okay.
Is this a motion by Stephen Gast, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then we'll see if it can be reported. I would like to move Storey County Planning and Zoning Commission recommends conditional approval of the major subdivision preliminary plat as put forth in this case to the Storey County Board of Supervisors, directing the staff to schedule review by the Board of Supervisors on April 9th, 2013, and the conditions that I would like to include are that the developer comply with the outlot as requested by the City of Ames, that the subdivision meets the open space requirements through alternative compliance measures, and that consideration be given by staff for the trees which have been planted by the developer as not being native to the property, that the staff or that that the Gilbert Fire Chief provide a letter that they will be able to provide emergency services, that a 10-foot regular side setback be shown on the final plat, that covenants be provided and reviewed, provided to staff for review with the final plat concerning maintenance and upkeep of road and stormwater management features, that a development agreement be provided for installation of improvements to the subdivision, which include control measures for the erosion control measures for the development of the site, that deals with soil analysis for septic tank systems, and that the developer correct a drain tile issue with the Stallman property, that approximately 0.14 acres be removed from lots 13, 14, and 15 in the pond area to comply with the open space requirements. And finally,
parts to that. I mean, you kind of addressed that earlier. So now you got two parts addressing the same thing.
The
alternative compliance measures. And now you're decreasing.
The open space requirements, my understanding is that the open space requirement is an acreage, but it also includes concerns about the trees that are in that are on the property. Is just to get the total amount of open space up to the ordinance requirement.
Okay.
What's your point?
The last issue is the chain link fence that we've discussed. That a minimum 6-foot high chain link fence be placed on the common property line between the development and the Stallman property.
That it?
Yeah.
That was everything that I had.
Okay. Well.
I think.
Can I get a second on this?
Yeah. Go ahead, Mayor.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct that maybe we need to clarify a little bit about. Yeah.
Okay, so we're open for discussion.
Asking Charlie, if I'll ask Charlie if the additional open space is provided, then would there be any requirement for an alternative compliance measure?
Oh, not at all, no, because that's what the developers were asking for, was alternative compliance, that they couldn't meet that 15%, so alternative compliance be given.
And the issue about the large diameter trees is not part of the...
Yeah, that's a separate issue.
...open space, that's part of the... natural area.
Yep.
And you'll notice that I did not include that. So I drop number two.
Okay.
Drop number two and just leave it at the 1.4? Okay.
We're going to take that as a friendly amendment, I think. Any other discussion on this motion? I do have one, and it's on the last point here. It's a minimum 6-foot high chain link fence. I don't disagree with a fence. I don't know that we want to spell out that it has to be a chain link fence. I think just something that would say, keep kids out of there. I'd rather be open on the
materials.
Yeah.
I would certainly consider that a friendly amendment.
I want it in the promotion, but I think that it would be the right thing to do to be in consultation with Ms. Stallman. I present.
And the only quick thing I would add on that is our regulations do limit the size of the fence to 8 feet. So 6 feet would obviously be in compliance, but anything over 8 feet, we wouldn't allow.
We don't have any regulations regarding material, do we?
Yeah.
I think the reason chain link was used is because it's more difficult to scale. A vertical rod of some type, would be difficult as well. Anything with horizontal bars would just look like a ladder.
Yeah.
But we don't want to do that.
I'm going to just take a couple. We have a couple of amendments here, so I'm just going to take a quick vote on them here. Okay, one of the amendments was to get rid of point number two, which was the subdivision meets open space. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Those opposed? Okay, so that's out. And then the second one was on the fence, just a minimum 6 foot high fence that would discourage or keep children from climbing over. Not chain link necessarily. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. You just always trouble. Okay. Any further discussion on the motion as it stands?
Charlie, this is an overwhelming amount of conditions. Is this a reasonable thing to do, or does it just need to be resubmitted, or is it?
I mean, as far as resubmission of stuff, the only reason I would ever bring up maybe them resubmitting something if there would be significant changes that need to be made to the plat, I don't see that with any of these conditions around here. It's just more or less requiring additional information. And again, this is the preliminary plat of this subdivision. Once they get their preliminary approval, they can submit the final plat. So it gives us ample time, I think, to review a lot of this stuff and requiring a lot of it, as the commission had mentioned, before the final plat, I do think it's appropriate. So, but again, ultimately, that's up to the commission. If you'd like to see some of this stuff come back forward before you give your final approval, that is up to the commission.
I think probably about half these items are kind of items that were mentioned in the text of this, like the fire chief and things like that. So, any further discussion?
Hot issue. I don't know. We used to deal with that a lot. I don't know.
Where are you going with that?
I guess I'd like to see the county attorney. I'm sure they will.
I don't understand why.
Well, you're basically, fence laws have changed the last few years. I farm too, and I have livestock and all that. I'm more responsible for my own livestock now than the old fence law was. You look at your property line and to the right hand rule, they had to build the fence. So in this case, you'd have to build half of that fence between them and maintain it to livestock control. Now it's getting to be, if you have livestock, it's your responsibility to keep them in. Things are kind of changing and muddy and awkward, so we're trying to put some stuff in here. I don't know if we really have the authority to put in there.
I see your point, David, but in this case, it's not keeping livestock in, it's keeping people out. And
you can't
which
do.
Is different. Yeah, which you can never do 100%, but you can make the deterrent stronger.
Okay, good point. Appreciate it. Ready for a vote? Roll call, please.
Weigel? Miller? Couser?
Aye.
Gast?
Yes.
Biggie?
Yes.
Struthers?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you all for being here. Appreciate it. Have a good evening. With that, we're going to move into other business. I'll give everybody about 30 seconds to clear out of here. Would you mind, proceed.
Yeah. Ready?
We are ready for you.
Long-range planning update, it's kind of a little bit more general than just long-range planning. It's, maybe we need to rename it work program update. Just since we've last met, or since I've been here last, Story County has released an RFP, request for proposals, for entities to respond to for solely for the purposes of economic development, services, and programming. Those are due back early part of May with an anticipation that the contract will be awarded to entity in May, June, with that coming on board in July. That is looking for professional planning or professional consulting services to provide economic development for the unincorporated parts of Story County and all the communities under 3,000 in population. So it would not include the larger communities such as Ames, Huxley, Nevada, Story City. But I'll keep you up to date as that goes forward. Also, males have communities under 3,000 persons, according to 2010 census, have been notified of two new programs that are managed by our department in accordance with our work program. I love acronyms. One is called the TAC, Technical Assistance to Communities. What that is, it is only for the remainder of this fiscal year, but if a city has hired a consultant or internally spent money to develop a capital improvements plan to maybe apply for some grants and they brought someone on board to assist them in grant funding or grant writing, the Board of Supervisors will pay up to $3,000 or 75% of the total cost of the project, whichever is less, so probably going to be at $3,000 max, to that community. And so communities now have until June 21st to submit that paperwork. So far, one has been already funded. That's for Collins. I'm sure we'll be getting one from Kelly and one from Colo, too, for a lot of interest from other communities. That's only for the remainder of this fiscal year, whether or not the board will continue that program on beyond this fiscal year has not been yet discussed, but that's something that just came up since the beginning of the year. And then the other program is called the Planning Assistance to Communities. Letters have gone out to, again, those communities under 3,000 persons, according to the 2010 census, asking them to submit a notice of interest by, I think it's April 12th. It's coming up here in the next couple of weeks. If they would like to be considered one of the three pilot communities, that over the six-month period from May of this year through October, our department will provide planning services free of charge to them. We're looking at as a pilot program to see what, first of all, the anticipated need and staff resources from our department may be required to do such, the types of services, and then evaluate that with the budget discussions with the board later this fall, and then let it come what may from there. We're looking at a pilot program, so we have a better idea how to frame the program if we go forward. And then we have lots of other little things going on, a lot of big other things going on, but for now I just want to share those three. Any questions?
I guess on that development with the communities, is that looking at expanding the community size, or is that looking at possible rundown properties within the town city limits that would be renovated or, you know, raised and then something new built?
The economic development RFP? Yes to both. And it may even be grant writing for communities that entity or whatever, if it's a single person that's awarded a contract or a consulting firm, they find and develop the grant application for a downtown revitalization program, or they put the pieces in play for a new abatement program a community would desire. Anything like that that would be in the realm of economic development, this entity would do that for unincorporated Story County and then the smaller communities. So it's a whole new direction for Story County, one that's never been. And so the budget that was approved March 14th included sizable funds for that, $100,000 for this upcoming fiscal year. And then, again, once we're into the budgeting, that will be evaluated by the board and determine whether or not that is something that would go past the July to June calendar and continue and for beyond that, and for if it expands, shrinks in size, whatever it may be.
Other questions? Leanne? Okay. Thank you for that. And you have one more thing here, don't you?
Follow-up. Tomorrow is the board's consideration of the RUSA rezoning that you recommended a month or so ago. And then Wednesday evening is the Board of Adjustments consideration of Jensen Ramsey conditional use permit, that indoor recreational facility along Highway 210. I don't think I'm forgetting anything. You do have a meet. I don't know if you have a meeting in a month either. Did something? Well, submitted. Oh, yeah.
What's coming up?
We have some changes to our subdivision regulations, so I'll be coming before you. No, but they have till mail time tomorrow morning.
Okay, thank you. Commission comments. Nancy Miller?
Sorry, I missed it. 2 months ago, I had this thumb surgery on the morning of the meeting, and by this time that evening, it was just killing me, and I did not sleep a wink that night, so I didn't make it. Last month, I was in Florida, so I'm sorry.
No, last month is no excuse.
Part of it was business.
Nancy? Okay. Steven?
We've had 3 cases in the last 3 months. That involved the Gainsburg Bridge plant.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps what we should have at some point in the future is a review of vision and the finding of various conversations behind the adopted. And
what I'm going to say in response is going to be like this was a choreographed discussion that Stephen and I had in advance, because the one thing I forgot to write down was Ames River Fringe Plan. Last Tuesday, the Board of Supervisors instructed the chair of the board to draft a letter to the City of Ames and City of Gilbert to request a full a review of the Ames River Fringe Plan. A number of bullet points were identified, everything from natural areas designation to the growth of the urban services areas and not reduction in tandem of other areas. It was a comprehensive list. Growth on the Lincoln Highway corridor along where the minor demarcation is with Nevada and Ames. A lot of things. And so, yes, we could schedule that, but I think we might want to hold off for a while because the staff will be directed to come forward with a schedule for that review process, and definitely the Planning and Zoning Commission will be a key partner in that, too. So, yeah, but that was not a staged dialogue right there, even though it just appeared to be.
Is there time frame?
No.
That letter?
No. Well, the letter, I actually did talk to Supervisor Sanders today, and he hopes to get it out tomorrow. To the cities of Ames and Gilbert. But then as far as time frame beyond that, we have not, that'll be for staff to put that together, the three staffs, and bring it back to all the elected officials for some guidance that this is acceptable time frame or we were way off mark. It is. It's on Ames's website. Yep. It is. I got it the other day. And we used to have a link, and then when we went to the new website, we didn't put it back on because if Ames ever changed anything, our link would be broken and useless. And so I always guide people. But we can definitely make copies for you again, too. And I can send that link back out to everyone. Charlie, I should say it was the other day, last Tuesday.
Anything else, Stephen?
No.
David? Staff comments? May 6th is our next scheduled meeting. So with that, a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Struthers at 6:57. Is there a second?
Second
by Calliser. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.